reflect on some important issues about what's been going on already. Anybody? I want to make sure we give everybody an opportunity. Okay, so we'll take some time to do some reflection questions on Sukkot. Ready for the first one? So, this is titled Elevating the Ordinary. Elevating the Ordinary. How does Sukkot encourage mindfulness in recognizing the sacred within everyday experiences? I'll read it again. How does Sukkot encourage mindfulness in recognizing the sacred within everyday experiences? Let me give you an example of an answer. How many appreciate fire?
Amen.
Without fire, we wouldn't have no food this week. How many appreciate the trees that supplied the wood? Without the wood, we wouldn't have had no warmth last night while we was out on the campfire. And so that's kind of a couple examples. When think about being mindful of some of the things that normally we ordinarily wouldn't think about because we don't use it every day. But during our Sukkot, we started to utilize that. Being mindful of how we need each other. Because even though we have church together, we kind of go home to our own environment, and we spend a lot of time in our own environment. But here, this week, we've been spending time together, not focusing on our own environment, but focusing on the environment that we have here. And I think that's really, I think it brings something that's sacred to that, you know, that I appreciate. And so that's just a couple examples that I'll point out to you.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
How does Sukkot encourage mindfulness in recognizing the sacred within everyday experiences?
We need an answer? Or you just...
Yeah, anybody that wants to, you can write the answer down. You can think about it. I'm going to give you a second question since you already got the first answer. That was a joke.
I don't have it all yet.
Too busy focusing on that first one.
So, and then everybody can give me your answer or some of the things you think about. I was just giving you an example that just floods to your head because some things we're not mindful of because we're not made to be mindful of those things because we're used to our life, how it was, you know. We have a routine. We get up, we put our coffee on, but we weren't putting coffee on for in singles. We were putting on, or couples, we were putting coffee on for the camp, right? So what's your mindset when you're doing that? So you're thinking, okay, I know everybody likes a cup of coffee when they get up, so you go and you get the water, and you rinse the pot out first, you get the water, you put, you know, so now you're being more mindful of something, and with that, you're attaching something that seems, it has a sacred element to it, because you're doing something for somebody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what gives it that is sacredness, because that's how we should do things for each other.
Right. Amen.
With that in mind. So that was based on the first question, just a reflection of Sukkot. And we know Sukkot's still going on, but I thought it would be good for us to kind of think about these things while we still got a few days left. Number two, which ordinary aspect of life might be waiting for spiritual attention and uplifting? Read it again. Which ordinary aspect of life might be waiting for spiritual attention and uplifting? So what's the ordinary things of life? Give me a list of three ordinary things of life. It could be random throughout the tent. Work. What's an ordinary thing of life?
Work.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Breath.
What?
Breath.
Yeah.
Your marriage.
Yeah.
Finances.
Yeah. These are stuff we deal with, but they become ordinary to you. You've been dealing with for so long.
Yeah.
This is what you do. Could they use a little spiritual uplifting?
Yes. Yes.
And so during Sukkot, that's what Sukkot does. It teaches you to focus your attention on the things. You're taking your mind off of things that are ordinary. You're focused on the spiritual element. Now, we're supposed to take what we learn here, and we're supposed to implement that in the ordinary. What difference would it make in your life if you implemented the spiritual into the ordinary? Mm-hmm. These are kind of questions that are geared to get us to think a little bit. Just to not just come here, and it'd be an event, we go home, and then it's over with, and we wait for next year. But to think about, what can I do better to implement the spiritual element in my ordinary so my ordinary don't become mundane? What can I do to make that difference? Now that was underneath, those questions were underneath I got three questions on each title. This one was a little more difficult. I thought not to give it, but I'll give it anyway. This is under Elevating the Ordinary, right? The title. Elevating the Ordinary. What happens when mundane items like the four species are reframed as holy? What's the four species? See, you gotta know that. Not the four species of our
sukkah,
but the things in life. Life in general.
Read the question.
Water.
Fire.
Element.
Okay.
Elements.
And what?
Rain.
We have water.
Oh, yeah. Water, fire, air.
Wind.
Oh,
right.
Water, fire, wind.
And?
Earth.
Okay, so you know the four species. The rest of the question is, what happens when mundane items like the four species are reframed as holy? Did we need all of those? Mm-hmm. And should we recognize that we should give thanks for all of those when it comes to we had a closer, much closer connection to those during Sukkot. You're forced to have a closer connection to them. Generally, we, you know, if you're not an outside person, you stay inside. So you lose touch. Some of you were grounded for the first time during Sukkot. Took your shoes off. Let some grass get between your toes. So you now you appreciate that species that you can attach some holiness to it and give God thanks. Because sometimes they become mundane and we don't even appreciate God for water, for wind. We appreciated the wind when it was a little warm. Now it's not so much last night. We were quick to be an Israelite. Because if we'd have had the wind on top of the chill last night that we had, we'd have been really wrapping up. And some thinking, I'm going home. Hey, I have to. You understand?
I'm sorry. I've got cocktail in the morning.
So what happens when mundane items like the four species are refrained as holy? There's a holy element to all of the fire. You think about the fire. And how many times the Bible references fire? But we take it as just fire, 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 fire. There's no framing holiness to it anymore, or set apartness. But when you're doing Sukkot, now fire means more. It doesn't mean nothing when you have a house that you go and turn on the switch and there it's you use it, you cook food. But we lose sight of the seriousness of how important that is. Without it, we would have been definitely hindered. If we take any one of these four out, it would have upset the entire Sukkot. So thank God that we won't allow things to become mundane no more. Because we get so used to living where we live and how we live.
Yes.
And then you can't relate until you take your shoes off and walk on the grass and feel like, you know what? I appreciate the earth. I appreciate this ground. And it's important that we take some time to reflect on that. Somebody else want to answer? You got three questions under Elevate the Ordinary. That's the title.
The first one is, for me, would be his message and his word twice a day that we've been getting it.
Yes.
You know, it benefited me a lot because for 3 years, my spiritual man was suffering because I wasn't getting just, you know, it was in and out, back and forth, and really wasn't getting it when I was in, to be honest. It was just here. But just to have it every single day, twice a day, and just from different ones, not from Pastor, just Brother Rob, hearing the ladies speak, and it's been very uplifting, very, amen. Very.
When we look at the water, it should be a reminder that it's the word that washes us. Mm-hmm. When we look at the fire, we should be reminded that the Spirit should be dwelling within us and helping us to move. Mm-hmm. The air, the breeze that blows, that soft breeze that blows, mm-hmm. it's His breath.
Yeah.
It's breathing life in us.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where my train of thought.
Same, and then the earth is created.
It is the creation, the growth. We literally come from that. Mm-hmm. He breathed the life to earth. That's where my...
And it brings you all back to the garden.
Yep.
Yes.
It just ties all in. It all ties back to the garden. Mm-hmm.
So
garden.
One of the things that struck me was everybody that did visit said how beautiful our setting was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You get a sense of, you know what? We don't really... I've been here since I've been here, but it has, unless it's enjoying with God's people, it lacks the beauty. But now, I'm looking at the banana trees. The banana trees just work for me. Uh-huh. But now it's just something about that tent setting there.
Yes.
And you just love sitting by the fire and looking there and you go, man, am I in a paradise? Have I traveled to another?
It's so true.
Have we moved?
And so the lights, everything, every element,
yes,
you're drawn into it to give a little more appreciation. And other than that, we're just in the house. We look over the rail and we just, I got to cut the grass again. You know, that's how we look at it. And so we lose touch with God because he's a part of everything. All these elements, he's the one that put them together. He's the one that causes them to exist. So we lose in touch with that part of God. And can you afford to miss any part of God?
No.
We can't afford to miss any part of God. So we want his fullness. We pray for his fullness. But we don't appreciate the simple things. You know, he's the one that made this ground. He's the one that put it. He causes the tree to grow. Mm-hmm. He causes the wood to kindle, the fire to kindle. If it wouldn't be for God, that elements of the oxygen in the air, and it wouldn't even kindle. It wouldn't burn at all. It would just be there. Mm-hmm. But thank God for all of those things, because it's just like, you know, we go to the faucet and we turn our water on. Mm-hmm. Here you got to go to, you got to go with how we say it, got to go to the hose pipe.
Yep.
That's right. That's it. What's a hose pipe?
Well, I've been trying to go to the pass.
I'm trying to figure that out. With the hose
pipe. I had to go to the pass.
This is a step up, huh, Uncle. Yeah.
So I think it gets you to think about. Sukkot gets you to think about things. We get, you know, we just get used to our environment, and we fail to recognize.
So
that while we're in that environment, just outside, one step out the door, is another environment. He says, why don't you reconnect with this? Because what it does, it gets you back to more simplistic thinking.
Yes.
Where you're not so serious about everything going on in your life, and you have a little time to appreciate God for the simple things.
It reminds me of, you know, when we did our thing around the campfire and everybody spoke, and Joe mentioned about community, and just now I thought this is a community. This is a community of fellowship for the Father. And so I think we are doing our duty as community, but if this community doesn't have every person doing what their job is in that community, we can't go out in that community yet. We're not ready for it. This community has to function as the Father would have us function, with everyone pulling in the same direction, and 100%, like, you know, I thought about Brother Rob, not necessarily being designated for it, but saw a job and started it, and then I gave him another, maybe two jobs, when it was time for the toilets to be empty.
Right.
But if we grumbled and complained about that, the community wouldn't work. We all have a hand in our community. Yeah. This community, our kingdom community, before we can extend to the community outside of it. And if we lack in one position of this community, it causes someone else to have to double up on that.
That's right.
So we all need to do our part 100% in this community. And in order to affect the community on the outside.
Absolutely. And that was my answer too for the first question is community, and how when we aren't in community and we do mess up per se, it's important for us to rectify that with the people who aren't in our community.
Yeah.
Because they are what we, as we say every time, we are on a stage. We are on a display. We are being watched. Mm-hmm. Our actions are being watched. Mm-hmm. And the people that we are trying to reach, anytime they see one person do one thing. It affects this whole community.
Yes, they can see someone outside this community do the same thing
and
not even think about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But then
they are holding
the spotlight
to a different
on the
standard.
Kingdom community more than the world community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think it's important for them to not only when they see us fall, see us be
acknowledged
for it, know that we've fallen, say, hey, I am human.
Yeah.
I am doing my very best, you know, to ask
to just make it known to them
that
we do fail.
Yeah.
We do fail. We aren't perfect people. It is what we strive for in our daily walk, but we do fail.
Yeah.
We do fall short. We are broken. We need our Savior. And it affects the community in a different light to maybe see, instead of them watch us fail and then just... Which I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to see that. And
exactly.
then, well, you know, I saw so-and-so do this.
Mm-hmm.
How is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, listen, we all know you're going to get the stuff. But it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about us
exactly.
and how we react to the
yeah.
stuff.
Right. And it starts with our home. I mean, for me,
well, for
the
me
Father's
too,
been dealing
ministry,
with me that, about that is, you know, it starts in my home and... not just assuming that my husband will understand what I'm doing, or not just assuming that he's, you know, gonna be okay with every single bit of it, but trying to walk softly in front of him and also trying to explain to him in very short instances on why I do what I do. And it's not in neglect to you. It's not in a lesser love that I have for you. But inevitably, what I consider the love of my life, I want that to be the love of your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to start in our home first
Amen.
And then work our way out.
Mm-hmm.
If your significant other can see how much it'll benefit him
mm-hmm.
that his wife or his husband is doing this,
yeah.
because there's no way you can't love them unless you love yourself
yeah.
and the Father
exactly.
first. If you love the Father first, the love that you're going to bestow upon them, it magnifies it, but they can't understand that because
yeah.
they see, they
yeah.
you know, they have the world or whatever.
Well, they just, know every fault that you have, just
yeah.
like you know every fault that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So with Jeff, with me, it's always like, well, you ain't perfect, Connie. I am not. And I'm glad that you realize that about me. Because now you're not putting me here. Because when I fall, when you see me do something wrong, I'm going to fall hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be like, oh, what kind of God do you serve? I don't want you to think that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that I am not perfect. You're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. But we also need to strive for that
mm-hmm.
and try to not. So when he brings to me, well, you did this. I just simply say, and I'm doing my best not to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say I won't.
Mm-hmm.
So keep me in check.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know when I do.
Because
mm-hmm. that's what I need you for.
Absolutely.
The Father put you in my life to do that.
Absolutely. And it's such a benefit to be able to be called out on your
sure.
stuff. And immediately you want to be like, defensive, but then
mm-mm.
I gotta mm-hmm. be some. I agree.
Receptive
so many times,
of it.
I'm
yeah.
like, thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you for allowing him to do
exactly.
what he was designed to do,
yes.
and not even
that's right. and not even realize he's doing.
Not even realize.
I told that to Avery the other day. I said, Jeff is in a way being the priest of our home without even knowing that he is yet.
Because it's what he was created to
it's
in
the DNA.
It's
God
in it.
Created
right.
that.
That's right.
And you're fighting it, but every now and then it'll come out whether you realize that's what it is or not. So instead of me pointing that out to him because he doesn't understand that concept, I give those quiet hallelujahs.
Amen.
That's when I do those quiet hallelujahs. And it works.
Amen. And just how you said, Pastor, can you afford to miss any part of God? That was just a little hallelujah moment for me inside. Cause this morning when I got to work, of course, my one coworker, she wanted to hear all about it. And we were talking and such. And she said, you know, she said, Sabrina, you have helped me so much here.
Amen.
And I said, Miss Mel, I'm not doing none of it. It is not me. You thank God for anything you see in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I have made you think it, it's not me doing it. And she said, oh, you sound just like my daughter. She did. She said, you sound just like my daughter. I said, well, it's not me. It's the God I serve.
Uh-huh.
And it's my job to be a vessel for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you've made me realize that some things that I think are just so important, are really not. Mm-hmm. Some things I put on the back burner, I really need to bring to the front.
Mm-hmm. Switch it around.
So I go in my little office, and I'm taking care of what I got to take care of this morning, and I'm watching the time, and it's getting closer to 8 o'clock, and I'm like, man, Miss Mel just reminded me of something can't afford to be missed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Miss Mel, I'm going to church. She said, oh, good for you. I said, I'm going, I'll be back. I said, and guess what? The banks are closed. She said, he even closed the banks for you. I said, if he can afford the keys, he can close the banks.
There you go.
Yeah. And I am so, I'm just so.
I never thought I'd say that. Thank God for Columbus Day.
I'm just so grateful that I didn't miss out on that opportunity to be here with my community and honoring the Father in worship. This is worship.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. So yeah, that was awesome. When you said it was like a hallelujah, I wrote that down. What? That was my confirmation. I just had that discussion this morning.
Amen.
Some things can't afford to be missed.
That's right.
That's right. And I'm worried about hours when.
Who needs hours?
Oh, you're just like your cousin.
Who needs a cousin?
Y'all are cousins.
Who needs it?
The value of what you get during this time, if your right attitude, right, we have to approach correctly.
Absolutely.
It's there's no price on it.
That's right.
Because you don't know the seed and the fruit that's going to come after the seed. And what impact it's going to have. And we have to have high expectations. If you don't expect it to happen, who are here, what chance you have for somebody that's not here to expect it? Our expectation level, you have to learn to elevate the ordinary. Because it's been ordinary to us until you get there and you start having to use it. You know, when you got to go dump the little portalettes we have, you were used to hitting the button and walk away. We don't think about that. We don't think you got to carry it. You got to expose yourself to that. And we don't think about that. But, you know, even in the scripture, he told them you have to go out away from the camp. You have to dig the hole.
Yep.
This is what he tells them.
Uh-huh.
This is not something he don't deal with. He deals with this stuff. But we don't know how to elevate the ordinary no more, and we get uptight about everything. And we have to learn to elevate the ordinary. And this is what Sukkot forces you to do. It's not asking you if you want to. It forces you to. And so, you know, we try to make it as convenient as possible. We buy, what a nice tent the church owns now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can have Sukkot wherever we want to be. Mm-hmm. No matter where it's at, we can have it. So we're not trying to just rough it. Mm-hmm. That you can buy some of the state-of-the-art tents out there, right? Mm-hmm. So we you don't have to make it so difficult that you regret trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to appreciate still to learn to elevate the ordinary. Because more likely, a lot of the stuff is just ordinary to us. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can go to a sink, turn the hot water on, put your dish soap in, and rinse with hot water.
Yeah.
And we've been, Miss Felicia's been washing and rinsing with cold water. It's all right. But what if you had no water?
Uh-huh.
And so that's important. It's just everything I think is important. So that was my first three questions underneath the title Elevate the Ordinary. And should I give three more questions?
Why not? Slow down, though. I can't remember writing.
Because I ain't got but one or two words on each line.
Judge Connie just told me slow down when you ask the question.
Well, you have to really be slow for me.
You gotta know how does. We need to have the toy up in here. Write it down on our list. Do it like
that
you're trying to get somebody
to show you how much
it is.
And we have the projector.
Well, the Andy chart is a paper one. It's like a huge post-it note.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So what if I just reduce it to two questions on the next title?
You still gotta go slow.
This title is called. This title is called Harvest and Gratitude. Harvest and Gratitude. First question.
Oh, wait.
Now, I do remember harvesting gratitude. Huh? So you're right out of memory, not out of hearing.
Oh, now you expected way too much.
You better get out the anointing oil.
They got coffee in that cafe?
We need that prayer on.
Come on,
that
prayer on. Buy a case of sells is for everybody.
I need the anointing oil for.
Yeah. Right. You see how quickly they.
You're right, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Okay, harvesting gratitude. Everybody's got that down?
Yes.
Even me.
Now this is going to speak right to you. What personal harvest are being celebrated now? Spiritually, emotionally, or physically? What personal harvest are being celebrated now? Spiritually, emotionally, or physically? Now that's options, right? You can have all three if you want, but to you, which one you think is not being planted, but harvest? From the Sukkot we're in right now. What's being harvested, being celebrated now, spiritually, emotionally, or physically? Maybe there's two you have, maybe it's three. Whatever it is, that's the question for you. Out of everything that's happened so far, now the stuff happened is not just here in the tent. I mean, we're talking over here, we're talking about stuff. We're talking in the morning about a campfire. You talk in your tents right before you go to bed.
Uh-huh.
So the element, the spiritual elements of those things are happening, and is emotions being harvested.
Amen.
Is are you having physical differences in your body?
Amen.
So these are things that
all, you know, all of them.
Are you harvesting these things?
Yes.
Because it's important that's what happens during Sukkot.
Yes.
You go on in with the mindset that you're not coming out less than when you come.
That's right.
You're coming out different.
I'm coming out different.
And that should be our goal. So hopefully that's happened for everybody. So I'm going to read it again. What personal harvests are being celebrated now, spiritually, emotionally, or physically?
Can physically be financially?
No.
No.
Physically would deal with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually and emotionally, and these questions are created. I didn't put these questions here. They're created questions that people use during Sukkot, and it comes from the Learn Hebrew Pi website. Learn Hebrew Pi website.
Can I say something? I think finances could be categorized unemotionally for me.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're dealing with finances, you can get mad, you can get glad, you can get frustrated, you can get scared, you know,
guilt.
Stealing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that could go underneath the emotion.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, because you can have a calm or peace come about it during this time, so
or
that affects your emotions,
chaos.
Rather than being burdened by it all the time.
Because that can affect everything, your physical.
It can. Absolutely. It can affect your focus if you got to study the speed.
Yeah.
It can, yeah.
Yep. So remember, during Sukkot, one of the things he tells us to do, he tells us, go have Sukkot. I'm going to take care of your what? He uses the word.
Goods.
Your goods.
Your goods.
And so learning to do that is not easy. Because who's in charge of our goods when everything's just kind of what we do? We don't realize how much we take charge of and give him a little piece only when it's broken.
Uh-huh.
We got charge of it, and it's hard to let go when you come to Sukkot because you're in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to learn that even in when we're doing everything regular the way we do, we got to give God more charge of that part so we don't feel like we're just not doing anything. Because it's a distraction. Like Brother Josh said, you'd be distracted when you're trying to focus because you were making it happen rather than trusting God to make it happen. And you got to get out there and get it. There's no doubt about it. You got to be hands-on. But sometimes we're too much hands-on, and we're not enough of putting our faith and trust in God. Yeah. We have faith, but our faith don't go past our hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Real faith, your hand lets go of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And God's got it.
That's right.
That's real faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter was told to get out of the boat and leave go of the boat of security. Mm-hmm. So long as you're hanging on to the boat, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can even get out on the water and you got the handrails. Mm-hmm. But when you let go of the handrails, 100% on God. You can't stand on the water without him.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment Peter looked around, he saw it to sink and Yeshua grabbed him. But he let go of the boat of security. We got to, you know, we preach that most of the time in the negative. But the positive is, to me, he let go of the boat of security. The rest of them stayed in the boat.
Uh-huh.
But he got out and let go of the boat. And he put 100% trust in Yeshua at that moment until the cares of the world kind of caught his attention. And then he had to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a life story. That's what happens to all of us. We're going good, and all of a sudden, we get sidetracked by everything that's happening. And we need somebody to save us. Thank God we have a faithful servant.
Amen.
Who's faithful to be there for us every time we stumble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did anybody ever stumble?
Yeah.
So we stumble. We need somebody there when we stumble.
Amen.
Somebody
Amen.
To pick us up. Help us along the way. So everybody got that first question in that harvesting gratitude? I'll give one more question in that. How can one cultivate deeper gratitude for both material blessings and spiritual growth throughout the year? That's a question. What happens after we're done? What happens when we take the tent down and go home? How can one cultivate deeper gratitude for both material blessings and spiritual growth throughout the year? I think one of the things you have to do to cultivate a deeper gratitude is to remember it more in our prayer. If we're praying more about it, we're cultivating a deeper connection of gratitude, and we should be thankful in everything. In everything, he said, give thanks. Good times, bad times, everything in between, give thanks to him for what he's done. I'm thankful for this. How many see that Sukkot is not a one-person operation?
No, not at all.
It's not a two-person operation. It's not even a three-person operation. Sukkot takes a community to do. Amen? How many see that?
Amen.
You could probably do it, but it would be hard-pressed to put this tent up with three people. It would be more difficult. But a community of guys get here and you can get it done. It's just, it's not, you walk away, man, that wasn't bad at all. It wasn't bad because you had help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how can we learn? How can one cultivate deeper gratitude for both material blessings and spiritual growth throughout the year? I think we have to learn to be thankful in everything. When you get back inside, even though the air conditioner might have a rattle to it, thank God for it.
Amen. And for me, keeping the simplicity. You go back to your life, but you don't have to overcomplicate your life. Because if we're practicing the simplicity,
we have time to stop and look at the little things.
Yep.
I know we live in this world, but if we can, for me, if I can keep it simple, if I don't overcloud myself with things, no matter what those things are, and just keep it simple, because I know Scott and I have tried to keep our life simple, and it works out for the best. Because we're really finding out that we're not missing anything. Simplicity is the one word thing for me.
You what?
I said I need a purge. Psalms 12.
Well, and that's what the code does. It makes you realize, like you said, you don't need all that stuff that you think you need when you go back home. You're probably gonna be like, oh man, I sure don't need this, or I sure don't need that. Or the stuff that you done thinking before Sokota even started that you're gonna have to get for your home or whatnot, you're gonna be like, I don't really need that now.
When you move in a travel trailer, you really find out what you don't need.
I love my travel trailer. Take me, grab me 30 minutes between my whole trail.
Amen. And you just realize how much you don't
need.
That's right.
How much you don't need.
But I hate it in the summertime, and I hate it in winter.
Be thankful in everything.
In the heat and the cold.
It all goes hand in hand.
Yes, it just does.
That with the simplicity comes other challenges, like how to stay cool in the summertime, how to stay warm in the but it's still
yes.
The simplicity. I don't want to go back to anything other than keeping it simple.
Everybody's good?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that last question brought me to Zechariah 14:16. And it shall be that all who are left, Zechariah 14:16.
Thank you.
And it shall be that all who are left from all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to bow themselves to the sovereign Jehovah of hosts and to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. And it shall be that if any one of the clans of the earth does not come up to Jerusalem to bow himself to the sovereign Jehovah of hosts, on them there is to be no rain. Mm-hmm. And if the clan of Misraim does not come up and enter in, then there is no rain. On them is the plague with which Jehovah plagued the nations who do not come up to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. In that, to just know that, to be grateful because it's what it's what we will be doing forever.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Better get it simple.
Mm-hmm. So you think about it, why would you even remotely say, we're not under that no more, that's done away with,
yeah.
Yet he reinstitutes it in he gets it from the done away pile,
yeah.
And puts it back in place? It makes no sense. It's still instituted. Mm-hmm. It's still his feast. Mm-hmm. He still loves them so much that he will be forced by command to have Sukkot in a millennium. This is after this age is over.
That's right.
And it's still implemented. It tells you, speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. Which helps you to be grateful while you're here. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. To know that.
The fact that you got to know about it before you ever got
right,
there.
Man.
I know exactly what this is about. You're not going to be sitting there, I don't know what you're talking about, Yeshua. What do you mean, Sukkot? What's Sukkot?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are going to say to him, and what if he says, well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't even know you. We don't know each other. The stuff I like, you don't like. The stuff you like, I hate.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have in common? What terrible words to hear. But
how in your personal conversations, I guess with maybe other ministers, how have they reconciled that it was here, then it was done away with, and then we'll have to do it again? How do they, in their conversations, reconcile that?
The last conversation I had with a minister, we got on this Zechariah conversation because I brought it up. I said, it doesn't make sense to think, well, we're not under that. Yeshua nailed it to the cross. It's over with. And I said,
then
brother.
Why would we do it again?
Well, I said, brother, I said, I only can ask you, please go back and read that. You're mistaking it. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, Peter said, if you twist Paul's writings, it's to your own delusion. And there's no, we've been in this thing for a long time. Let's not delude ourselves. And I brought up Zechariah. I said, go read Zechariah. Why would God institute by command we have to keep Sukkot if we don't keep it now? Why would he do that? And to this day, I've not got a return phone call from that question. It's a non-answer. Just not talk about it. And so now we talked about other stuff, talked since then, but never answered that question to this day. Because it's hard to deal with when you go look at what it says. It's better to say, well, I don't know. I'm just not going to talk about it. I don't know. I know. He's telling us. It's not right. Like it's a secret. He's telling us this is what he's going to do. And if you don't participate, you're going to be with no rain.
Right.
One of those elements taken from
one
you.
One of the elements.
And you'll see how difficult it is to have a harvest with no rain. Mm-hmm. There is no harvest without rain. And so why don't we just let the word say what it says, leave it fall when it falls, and we have to make the changes necessary in our own life to fit what it says rather than going in and just saying, well, this whole section we're going to get rid of, and we're just going to do this section. That doesn't make any sense. And it's and again, I hope everybody understands, when I talk to folks like that, I'm not argumentative at all. We're talking, we're having a conversation.
Right, we know that.
But I'm not going to let somebody speak over me these Bible verses. The Bible says this. I said, I understand it says that. But I said, I believe that you're mistaking what it says. That he nailed it to the cross, the whole Torah. That's not saying that. In fact, in the translations, if you go to many different translations, use whatever one you want, he talks about dogmas being nailed.
Right.
I said, what's a dogma?
Right.
Well, I got to go check. I said, well, that's fine. I'm not hating on you that you didn't check yet. But understand, there's a difference between God's command and dogmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. And if he's saying he nailed the dogmas to the cross versus these commands, I said, I think that's something you need to know because you're going to mistake other scripture. Mm-hmm. But the Zechariah, when we talked about that, came up and I read it to him and I said, do you see it says that we're going to be participating in Sukkot? And we're not even practicing that today. Like Sukkot ain't even on the list.
Right.
If we go to all the celebrations we do in what we call Christian church, Sukkot's not even on the list. Most folks never heard of the term Sukkot in this region till I said it. And I didn't know about it until God revealed it. Now he didn't have to take me to some mountain somewhere to tell me. I just had to read the rest of the story. It was in the Bible. I carried it around the whole time. Yeah. As a non-reader, digging deep into the scripture, I had no idea until God reprimanded me personally and says, what are you doing? You don't get to select what you want to talk about and get up and tell people, I'm following what God wants. You're not following what I want. If you follow what I want, you do what I ask you to do. And so... you can try to talk yourself out of that. You can try to make it not, it's not, they're not so, God. It's not, la, 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 I don't hear it. But you stop shaking your head, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You go to bed at night, there it is. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps, he won't let up because he knows what's best for you. And it takes some time for God sometimes to get something in our thick head because we've been doing it this way for so long. Mm-hmm. But when you get to passages like this, that specifically is talking about one of the feasts that he's going to command those in the millennium to participate in, and you don't do it, there'll be no rain. There's a consequence. Mm-hmm. What consequence is there today? If there's a consequence there, we don't even think about that. That's no consequence. And so we still have folks in the congregation that maybe say, well, I don't know if I need to do that fully. We have to. It's what he says. It's important to God because it allows him to do what he wants to do in your life. And so take some time to look at this and these questions. You know, these questions we ask, and they really get you to think about the principles that he lays out for us.
Absolutely.
So I gave five questions. I think I'm going to stop with five questions. Anybody else want to try to answer some more? That last question?
I would like to answer the one before that. Emotionally, for me, with the starting new in a business, all this week that just passed, you know, it was a struggle to where I was even, the truck was even barely making fuel money. And it might not seem, you know, a big deal to people who really don't quite understand it, but to me it was huge because last night when the driver texts, he says, can I fuel up in the morning? And it was so good to say yes. By all means, fill it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was coming to Sukkot and I didn't care what was going to happen financially, with the trucks or with the job. I didn't care. I was coming to Sukkot no matter what. And it just goes to show you that when you do your part, he's going to step in and do his for you. Every week up to that, it was something was happening, whether it was this breaking, that breaking. And when things break on the dump truck, it's big and it's costly. It's a lot. It's not just, you know, hey, go get a patch. Let me just say, week before last, I caught a flat, and from that flat, it knocked the tire off the other axle with it, you know, because there's two tires together. So one tire caught a flat, and the other one jumped off the rim because of the weight that was in the truck. $380 for a patch and to put the other tire back on just to air it up. That's how much the tire guy charged to come out. $380 for a patch. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. So that kind of set you back. Man, I don't know how we're going to do for fuel money. Nick, you got to, Nick, I need $200. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. But this week, nothing wrong. Fuel. Hey, yeah, go fill it up, man.
Hallelujah.
You got to go fill
yes.
it up.
Amen.
So that was, and spiritually for me, this one's huge. It's my voice.
Amen.
He's robbed me from all this year.
Amen. Yes.
But the last three years, that was it. He stole that from me. I wouldn't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all seen it? I was just like, I was numb in church when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
But this spiritually is the voice.
Hallelujah.
You know?
Yes. And you know, that's, I believe that's major. And we always think we should, like, it's a given that you want to give him honor for those big things. Like, your voice that the Father instituted in you that gets you closer in the covenant that he created between Josh and him. But all of it's significant. He wants to have his hand in every aspect of our life, even in the patches. That nobody saw the flat tire. Nobody understands the flat tire on a dump truck, much less, you know, on a car is one thing, but on a big truck is a different thing. But it's in the small things to not be so, well, I don't need to praise him for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this voice that I need to praise him for. No, everything, in all things, give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
In all things, mm-hmm. Even in the little bitty things.
And the Father's so attentive to us that he gives us this time to rehearse if we want it. That way we know what we're coming into, we know what to expect, we know what to do, and he gives us the opportunities to take care of all the things that needs to be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
and we get to rehearse each time.
Mm-hmm.
Each time.
Yeah.
Each time.
That brings me back to a sermon Jesse had done one time, or I don't know if it was the full sermon, but he had said this in a sermon about when you go take a test. And if you're that person that never studies, how much sweating you're doing, because you don't know anything that you're about to experience. But if you just do a little studying, at least you're somewhat prepared or know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you know, scripture tells us, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the understanding of what we're going to actually do or see in the kingdom. But at least we have an a little glimpse of what we're going to be doing because of doing it now or trying our best to do it now. We won't come in into it fully handicapped, but we might not come into it fully understanding, but at least we won't be fully handicapped when we do finally get to do it with Yeshua.
This part of it, but it's the spiritual part that we get to fix so much. For me, that's the part I get to work on over and over.
Amen.
Yeah.
So far since we started, this has all been just a big challenge for me. Just even trying to get, it's not because I have a little tent. But getting in and out of the tent allows me to know how physically how much I just don't take care of me. If anybody would have needed a little help getting in and out of a tent, I'd have been right there. And for me to get in and out of my tent for myself has been a challenge. And then emotionally going home and seeing my husband sitting there, not being pleasant for what I'm doing. And then him even coming here and seeing the side of him saying how beautiful everything here is. And then his struggles of not wanting to be here just because of Josh. And like son-in-law said, the challenge of the restaurants, you know, you all week long, I looked at my phone wondering if I'd have to go put money in the bank. And every morning I woke up, I didn't have to put money in the bank, but I shouldn't even have to get on my phone this week to do that. So I know next year when it's time for Sukkot, changes will be closed. I will not wake up on one of these days ever and wonder what's going to happen at that restaurant or what's going on at the restaurant. So that was a big thing for me, because I will not allow nobody to work on these days. When we have these days, I need to learn that if I'm going to show the world I can stay in a tent all week, I have to stand for my whole life, because if I could do it with my husband, I should do it with the world. And going back to my little tent, Pastor said for us to put our face against the tent. The first night I got in there, you miss your person. So I got in the tent and I put my head, and my head falls right in the corner. So it was like I had two hands on my head because I fit in the corner. That's where my head fit. So when I got in there that night before Pastor even said that, I said that I was so thankful that the Father had me in that little tent. And the first two nights, I was kind of miserable. But I think my misery was only because you don't let yourself be set apart in times of uncomfortable. But since then, every night I slept, I was good. My feet were wet last night because
you touched them.
Two people promised to help me out. But guess what? We're good. Because my feet was wet against my tent. And guess what? I was still good. Because I put my feet underneath my blanket. And that was my second covering. So, I was, so, but this was good for me. This has been good for me. It's been spiritually, physically.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Every part of it. I just seen the Father's hands over me the whole entire time. Like he's just been holding me. And the feeling of that has been amazing. Just even grounding. Just even grounding. I put these wet shoes on and then like and instantly they dropped off and I'm like, oh wow. Yeah. So that's the things the Father does that is so good for me. That just teaches me that he's never, ever, ever, no matter what, he's not leaving me. And I believe, I truly have to stand on his word for Ricky and the situation with my son-in-law. But that has to be on their appointed, his appointed times for them. So really keep Ricky in prayer because he wants to be here. I know he would come. But he has to fix himself. I can't do that for him. So I'm just thankful for this time I had to spend here. So thankful.
Everybody good? Here's something we can do. It's called art prompt.
Oh.
Art prompt. Art prompt during Sukkot. Take a walk outside. See if you can soften your gaze to look at the world through eyes of gratitude and enchantment. As you walk, gather stones, leaves, petals, sticks, and other natural objects that you find on the ground. Find an open space and lay out what you have gathered. Admire the offer and offer gratitude for what you found. Create an offering to the universe with what you have arranged and the items you have found in a way that is pleasing. Come back in a day or two and see how your offering has changed. So what's going to happen when you leave? Just leave it there. What's going to happen to it?
If you have prints and all, it's going to start to die.
Stuff is going to change. So the only thing you'll have is what? The memory of when you first put it there. So during Sukkot, that's just something that you can do. And you make this art, whatever it is, just line it up however you want to position it, and just leave it. And you come back after Sukkot's over and look at it. Maybe take a picture of it when you first put it, come back. What's going to happen to the leaves if it's windy? They're going to blow away. The stones might get out of position. And so if you're looking for something to do and you want to be thankful for what your surroundings and offer gratitude for nature and everything that God has done for us, that'll give you like a little project. If you don't want to do it, take a picture of the empty ground, come back and look at it after a week or so, it'll still be empty. And you've learned nothing.
That's it.
You don't participate, you don't participate.
We don't hand out pecan pancakes just for nothing.
Yes.
So, now not everybody cares about what I just said about that. Only the people who like pecan pancakes. So anyway, you don't have to do any of this. I'm just saying if you around this time you're looking for something to do. We got the whole rest of the day. I think today they're doing barbecue chicken. I said day, but it might be us.
Yeah,
but we're not gonna prep it, y'all. We got the most amazing preppers in here getting it ready for the grill. All right, so there's a lot of stuff to collect around here. There's a lot of leaves, a lot of rocks, bugs.
We should make
acorn.
Can bugs run away?
Chicken poopy. It's an art all by itself.
That's it.
Yeah, that's paint.
That's it.
And if you find one that ain't a berry, it's purple.
So you only got like 2 days left to make a difference in your photo. You take a picture of it first. When it comes toward the end of Sukkot, you look at it again. So remember where you put it, wherever you put it. Leave it out in the yard somewhere, or if you put it on the road, it'll change.
If we do that, the car runs over. Not to be busting windows out, running over our rocks.
All right, y'all. Hope y'all enjoyed our little midrash session.
Now my picture is different. Yeah, I brought mine, Neil. I brought my t-shirt.